You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we talk about how a former governor might fix the relationship between state lawmakers and the UW system.
First, speculative fiction is in the midst of a spike in popularity. Genres like fantasy and science fiction, once considered on the fringe of culture, are now all over television and the big screen. There's now a new Star Trek movie in theaters, and one of the hottest shows on TV is Game of Thrones.
But according to our next guest, these genres have long struggled with the issue of race, both in regard to the lack of black characters in many stories, as well as a shortage of black content creators. In a new book, he digs deeper into some of the reasons behind those issues, what it means to be a black fan of speculative fiction, and where the genre might be heading in the future.
Andre Carrington is with us now. He's assistant professor of English at Drexel University and the author of Speculative Blackness, The Future of Race in Science Fiction. Andre, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you write early on that one of your goals with this book is to encourage readers and critics to acknowledge that race does matter in speculative fiction. So let's start there. Make the case about why race matters in this genre.
Well, race matters in popular culture across the board because it matters in our lives. So while we're dealing with really tenacious problems in everyday life and in our history, and we might turn to fiction and fantasy and entertainment media for distraction or to stimulate our imaginations, we really have to question how much we envision a more just world, a more peaceful world, and a more egalitarian world when we look to those imaginary settings that we hope to achieve maybe someday as a utopia or that we wish we could live in now.
When people look at science fiction or comics or movies, things like that, sometimes the response to a statement like that is, well, this is our escape. This is escapism. Do we really need these real world issues to intrude? How would you answer that?
I know exactly how people feel when they do that, because that's how I approach when I watch every episode of Star Trek or every episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer like I did to write the book. And I ask myself that question as a black American, and I say, yes, I do need my issues addressed. I do need to see myself and people like me. And I also need to see people who are not like me in relationships that are different from the ones I see in everyday life. So if I'm looking to those places to try to get a respite from the injustice that I experience in everyday life or that I know about in the history of people from my background as a black American, then I want, in a lot of ways, something that's like what some people want when they want to be insulated from those issues.
Do you think that content creators, the people who produce speculative fiction, science fiction, have been slow to pick up on this, that the imagination has roamed freely and in lots of different directions, but maybe not necessarily as freely as it could when it comes to race?
I do think that is true in large part. And that's in part because the entertainment industries are owned by smaller and smaller groups of corporations, because the people who produce not just entertainment media on a big scale, but even publishing magazines and anthologies and books, those publishers have to make a conscious effort to be as diverse in their ranks in terms of who makes decisions and whose work they include as anyone else. And if they're not doing that across the board, which we see largely in mainstream fiction, in children's literature, in academic literature, anywhere we look, if people aren't making a deliberate effort to be inclusive and to advance the perspectives of people of color, then we're going to see that they lag behind where society would like to go.
Is speculative fiction, whether we're talking about print or TV or movies, a welcoming place for either a black content creator or a black fan showing up at conventions?
You know, it really can be, and that's something that gives me hope. When I see the success of authors like N.K. Jemisin and Daniel Jose Older and Helen Oyeyemi, I think that there are so many creative, brilliant voices out there now whose work we can look to as examples. And the inspiration we should take from that is that when people from backgrounds that haven't been represented in that area of publishing or that area of media haven't had a chance, when they come up to the plate, give them a look, give them a second look, give them a chance, because we know that they can be successful. And even if we don't see that one breakthrough success for somebody from a background that hasn't been represented before, we might see their example as an inspiration to somebody who does come along and really change the way we think.
We're speaking with Andre Carrington right now, assistant professor of English at Drexel University and author of the book Speculative Blackness, The Future of Race in Science Fiction. And Andre, you mentioned watching a lot of Buffy the Vampire Slayer as research for this book. And I'm thinking about another example you write about, the original Star Trek series. And I wonder if you could walk us through those and the way that those series handle race, how they did.
They did things that we had not seen before. I wrote about, of course, the iconic role of Nichelle Nichols in Star Trek. And one thing that we forget about that series is that so many people saw it and really hadn't seen any black women in roles that weren't the kind of roles in society that black women were restricted to in large part in terms of employment. So with so many black women being domestic workers and doing service kinds of jobs, we never saw any media representation that told younger black women that they could grow up to do something else, anything else, maybe even fly in space someday. That was so literally out of this world in the 1960s that it was a huge inspiration to an entire generation of Americans. And one thing I learned in my research was that Nichelle Nichols parlayed her success as an actor into really making that success happen for young people and scientists and curious minds who were inspired to become astronauts because they saw Star Trek and they saw a future that could really include them. When it's a series like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, it was hilarious and fun and exciting and campy and all of those things that made it so pleasurable to me as a TV viewer when I was in college and then to me as a critic when I was looking at it later writing the book was that even though the series was kind of a send-up and a parody of the horror genre where you take the young, white, blonde damsel in distress and make her into the heroine, there were cracks and edges in that vision of the world that said high fantasy and magic come from Great Britain, or that the ancient histories of monsters and things like that resembled the kind of behind the times unreconstructed sort of histories of empires and natives on the other hand. When we look critically at how the media that entertains us represents our lives and the world we live in, we should also think, well, is this using the most up-to-date information? Is this just doing the best practices that we want to see in any field and in any profession? And when we can look back on certain TV series or films or texts that we read and see that they're not, then our job is maybe to invent new stories and to welcome sequels and spin-offs and things that build on the legacy that's there to really take things to the next level or get them to catch up with our dreams where they are now.
Andre, briefly, as we wrap up, are you seeing signs that people are thinking that way and trying reaching for new sources of inspiration?
I absolutely am. One of the ways I think we see this is in the work that director Ava DuVernay is going to be directing a film version of A Wrinkle in Time, and Oprah Winfrey is said to be cast in the movie. Now, when I read that book, when I look back on my childhood and I think, oh yeah, that's a wonderful young adult, fantastic novel, but to imagine that Meg and Mrs. Who and everybody could be black people, or that it's a black woman's hand that guides the camera to show those images, I think it's not just a statement that there are places in Hollywood and in the publishing industry that have said, we trust you to tell these stories.
And we leave it there. Andre, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That was Andre Carrington, assistant professor of English at Drexel University and the author of Speculative Blackness, The Future of Race in Science Fiction.